Coming up, choir. All right. Good morning, everyone. If you would please stand, grab a hymn book, and let's turn to page 341, Victory in Jesus. 341. We'll sing the first and last verse. Sing with me.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory! I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. Sweet day, I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me
thankful we've got that victory in Christ. True victory, eternal victory in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here today, and I'm glad you remembered to turn your clock ahead, unless you're just now thinking you got here for Sunday school. Surprise. No, I'm glad. By the looks of things, though, there's some that forgot to turn their clock ahead, but that's all right. We got many that are still battling with different codes and junk like that, so please be in prayer for each other. There's 10, 11 folks that arrived in Israel over the last couple of days, and Marcia and I will be joining them by Tuesday, so we're looking forward to that, but please pray for those ones that are already there. And, hey, we're looking for the Lord to meet us right here today. So grateful for his mercy to us. But what we want to do right now is take a break and shake some hands, church family and members. You make sure you get around to our visitors and welcome them today, too. Amen. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
standing, and let's turn to 243. 243. On the first.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
On the last,
I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
You can be seated. Stand once more. Let's turn to page 506. blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Sing it.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, all is at rest.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
If you'll take your places, we'll receive this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. There's one that did not make the bulletin this week. There's going to be a ladies' conference March the 28th down at Joshua Baptist from 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. There's going to be sign-up sheets in the foyer. So Miss Marsha asked me to please to announce that one. Please pray for those who's going to be out of town and out of the country this week on the Israel tour. And just that's all I can say about that. Just pray earnestly for them, okay? Just immediately after the service this morning, I'd like to have a meeting with the fathers and sons who would like to go on the camp out with us. We'll leave Friday morning and come back Saturday afternoon. I'd like to meet with them in the pastor's class back here immediately after service this morning. A ladies' fellowship on the 17th, and hey, folks, we're right around the corner. April 4th, that's going to be the first Saturday in April. We're going to have our fundraiser. There's probably going to be our one and only fundraiser that we have to help defer the cost of camp. And that's going to be our yard sale. Since we've been doing this, it has made camp extremely, extremely affordable, just on the verge of being free. And the Lord is really blessed with this. And it's amazing how he's come with that. Personal growth seminar starts on the 26th. And looking forward to that. Are we still taking sign-ups on that, preacher?
Sure.
Okay. Still sign-up sheets on the back for the personal growth seminar. Seminar. And stop by and read Brother David's latest letter. He didn't put it together for nothing. So it's worth the effort. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, right now we're asking you to be at the offering about to receive. Bless the gift and the giver, Lord. Lord, thank you for the rain. Lord, please be with the preacher. Hide him behind the cross. Lord, please, please give him the words that you want him to say. Prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
You know, the Lord is good, and I'm going to sing a song today called At Your Feet. And, you know, if we could learn to humble ourselves and to place all of our needs and our cares at the feet of Jesus, we'd probably get all of our needs met. But sometimes that's a hard lesson for us to learn. An alabaster box held costly perfume. She anointed you that day as the fragrance filled the room. She washed your feet with her tears and dried it with her hair. I know how Mary failed as she was kneeling there. At your feet, at your feet, I humbly bow before you, and with honor I adore you. At your feet, at your feet, there's no place I'd rather be than at your feet. It's hard to understand when life seems unfair. I'm carrying a load, Lord, that I'm not meant to bear. But you said in your word that peace can be found. If I could find the courage to I humbly bow before you, and with honor I adore you. At your feet, at your feet, there's no place I'd rather be than at your feet. There's no place I'd rather be, Lord. There's no place that I'd rather be than at your feet.
Amen. Thank you, Deborah. Beautiful song. Amen. Be turning to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I should have mentioned earlier, Tom Goday spent much of the night in the hospital. He was taken to the hospital about 2. I think they went, actually, not taken, but about 2. And this morning he was doing much better. He had an irregular heartbeat, and they got that corrected. And wanted to watch him for a little while before they released him, but appreciate your prayers, Brother Tom. Continue looking at these places in the Scripture talking about the power, God's power for God's people. It amazes me. I'm not even coming close to exhausting the subject, but this is our 9th message in this series of messages on God's power for God's people. This morning we look at the subject of the resurrection power of God through Christ Jesus. The resurrection power of God through Christ Jesus. And if you found your place there in the Gospel of John in chapter 10, would stand together with me, please, just in reverence of the good word of God. John chapter 10, beginning to read there in verse 17, says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And Lord, we do bow before you once again. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful music. Thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Most of all, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to, as best these feeble lips can, to exalt the name, the lovely name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we understand that without him, we can do nothing, we are nothing. But with Christ, oh my, knowing Jesus makes all the difference. I'm thankful for the subject of the day, to know, Father, that this life is not the end, barely the beginning. And Father, please, I pray you'd help us as we look into these scriptures. Would you make them real to our hearts? Father, do what this preacher cannot do, and speak to us, to our very heart of hearts, by the Spirit of God. Lord, I'd ask you, Lord, as humbly, as meekly as I can, yet begging you, if there's anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, please show them Jesus today. Get this preacher hidden behind the cross of Calvary, that they might see your Son, your wonderful Son, and his promise, his powerful promises to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Well, those words from the 17th verse there, John 10, verse 17, where the Lord Jesus Christ declares, "Therefore doth my Father love me." And he tells us why. He says, "Because I lay down my life." And we realize there's a perfect relationship within the Godhead, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a perfect relationship. Never a squabble, never a fuss. Perfect love from all eternity past to all eternity future. So it wasn't that somehow God the Father began to love his Son. That's not what the Lord Jesus is saying. But the idea here is that the love that God the Father had, even a, if I can say it this way, a love of pride in the sense that his Son would come to be his sacrifice for sin. He would come to this earth planet to lay down his life for you and for me. It's an expression of God's love for us, for God indeed so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Indeed, God the Father involved in that thing, in the giving of his Son on our behalf, but as well as we'll see today, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for us of his own choice and will. You know, beloved, we live the days of our life and we go the way of all that have gone before us. It's just the reality. In 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this concerning David. It says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he challenged his son Solomon, saying, I go the way of all earth." It's common to every one of us. David said in Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10, he says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80, and by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." Indeed, we cling. Do we not cling to this life? And we do all we can to extend it. And that's okay, that's understandable. Indeed, we do that. That's what we know to do. But It is kind of hard to understand when we consider how wonderful heaven is. Talking about glory, that future glory of the believer in our Sunday school class. And I'm loving this lesson. I'm loving talking about this, because what a glory is ahead for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality is that life is short. No matter how long we might walk this earth planet, life is short. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, it says this, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow." Now, I'll stop there for just a second. We make plans for tomorrow, do we not? Marcia and I have plans to get on an airplane and fly halfway around the world tomorrow. Join some other members of the church family there in Israel. But hey, we don't really know what tomorrow may bring. You know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. We're here really just a short time. Job had a lot to say about this. In Job chapter 7 and verse 6, he says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." In the 9th chapter, verses 25 and 26, Job says this, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." Then he also says these words that are probably more familiar to us. He says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Yeah. We could go on and on with passages and verses of Scripture that speak to this subject, but we see enough Bible in these verses to sum up that our walk on this earth is short. It's short as we would measure it in the time that we spend here. David sums it up. King David sums it up when he wrote in Psalm 39 and verse 5. He says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state." Interesting. David says, "Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Wow. Man, you and I, in our greatest achievements, aren't much. Man, in his greatest achievements, still just isn't too much. What is truly important, beloved, and I think you'll agree with this, at least this crowd should, what is truly important is where we'll spend eternity and who we'll spend eternity with. And I'm thankful as we've sang today, because these songs, tremendous, about that victory that ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, considering, beloved, that the greatest thing that we can do is still not all that much, the Lord Jesus Christ makes this statement. He says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Tremendous question, isn't it? What a question the Lord puts forward to us. What would you trade your soul for? It's a question many are answering very foolishly. Chasing after this, chasing after that. Amusing, entertaining ourselves with the world's pleasures. And in the end, what will they have if they lose their own soul? Oh my. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 19. And he says this. He says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Now again, as I shared with my class this morning, praise God for what Christ has done for us now. The peace, the joy, the contentment. Hey, the assurance of that which we've sang about this morning is ours in Christ. And we enjoy the blessings of that now. But if that's it, that when we take our last breath, it's over. We are indeed most miserable. But hallelujah, that's not the end. That's not the end. And certainly, what we've read from the Word of God ought to emphasize to us the importance of having that right relationship with God. A right relationship with God. And we understand from the Word of God that that means having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And so, really, look at just a couple things. And that, you know what that means when a preacher says that. It means he's got a couple main points and a whole bunch of subpoints. But we look, first of all, this morning at Christ's power over death for himself. Christ's power, his resurrection power over death for himself. And there we read in John chapter 10 and verse 18, speaking of his life, he says, "No man taketh it, no man taketh my life from me." Interesting. He says, "But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Hallelujah. Speaking of that resurrection power. But with this statement, it is a bit confusing if we don't consider the whole picture of what took place through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on that Roman cross. Because we understand that the events show that the Jewish leaders of the day demanded his death. They demanded that he would be crucified. We understand that. We understand that it was the Romans themselves that took Jesus outside that city there to Golgotha and nailed him to that cross and crucified him. Put him to death. Put him to a criminal's death. We understand that. That indeed, we read here from John, the declaration of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, that no one could take his life from him. No one could take his life from him, but that he had power to lay it down, and he had power to take it back again. How do we bring those two things together? They're both true, beloved. They're both absolutely true. Indeed, it was man that put Jesus Christ to death. Indeed. But he also had power to take it again. Peter boldly declared. Now listen, this is bold. Peter declares to those that killed Jesus in Acts chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, "But ye, you leaders of Israel, you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Wow. He also said in the fourth chapter of Acts, in verse 10, he says, "Be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, who you put to death, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." It was man that put Jesus to death. Absolutely true. But beloved, it is also true that Jesus, by his own choice, by his will, laid down his life for sinners, just like me, just like you. Jesus said, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The word power in this verse, The word power in this verse is the word meaning to have the power of choice. It's the word that would mean it was an act of his own will of what took place. Now again, that seems to be a contradiction. It was the Romans that nailed him to that cross. It was the Jews that demanded his death. How can it be that he would have the choice as to whether he would be put on that cross or not? Well, it comes very obvious to us that the Lord Jesus Christ was in complete and absolute control of what was taking place. We read in John chapter 17 and verses 5 and 6. Listen to this. You're familiar with this. The Lord Jesus Christ is confronted by that crowd, the mob and the soldiers that were sent from the high priest to arrest him there in the garden. And he says to them, he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And they answered him and said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus saith unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. I love it. I love that verse. I love that passage. We see here the power of the name. The power of that name, I am. Oh, we preached those I ams of the Gospel of John a year ago. There's power in that name, as we saw a couple weeks ago. The power of the name I am from the lips of Jesus sent the mob back on their backsides. Jesus had the power to lay down his life, but he also had the power to take it again. How do you know? How do you know? Well, I'll be able to tell you a little bit better in about 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, I'll be able to say, well, I stood there at the garden tomb. Guess what? It's empty. But I want to say this. I've not stood there yet. But I still know it's real. I still know he had that power to take his life back. I understand and I'm fully convinced that he's alive. How do you know he's alive? Well, maybe I should have been preaching this message a few weeks from now on Resurrection Sunday, but we'll just do it again then. I know it's real. I know he lives. I know he had that resurrection power because of the life that he breathed into me. He changed Jim Turner. Huh? He changed me from what I was to what I am. Hey, and better than that, to what's coming up. Glory is ahead. Victory in Jesus. Christ's power for himself. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul treasured the thought, the truth, the reality that he knew Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul knew. Hey, Paul understood that what Jesus had done in him. Indeed. Where is the power? Where's the power for our future resurrection? In the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In his resurrection. Jesus promised his disciples in John chapter 19 after his resurrection. John chapter 14, verse 19. Again, this was before his resurrection. He says in verse 19, chapter 14, he says, yet a little while. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Listening? But ye see me. And he says, because I live. Because I live, ye shall live also. Huh? Well, we love to sing that song, don't we? Because he lives. Because he lives, we shall live also. How do you know? Because he says so. Because he says so. When is the time of this thing? When's the time of the resurrection for the believer? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, these are familiar words, tremendous words, wonderful words, great to commit to your heart, committing these truths that you cling to every single day, day in, day out. They become that reality to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When will our resurrection be, preacher? When the apostle Paul wrote to that church at Thessalonica, and he wanted to encourage them and assure them that even though there had been some that knew Christ, they'd been saved, and now they had passed away, they'd left this earthly life. Paul didn't want them in ignorance about that. And he says in verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. What's Paul telling them? You can count on this. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what I hope. I'm telling you on the basis of the word of God. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, when's this resurrection taking place? When Jesus comes back after us. He explains, Paul explains, again, for all those have loved ones that have passed away. They've died in Christ. Paul wants you, he wants me to understand that there's a hope that transcends the grave. Huh? Oh my, Jesus has taken away, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, the sting of death. He wants us to understand that yes, there's coming a day. Keep your ear peeled. Keep an eye on the eastern sky, because there's coming a day when the trump will sound. Huh? The trump, not might, not possibly. It's not a hope-so thing. The trump will sound. And the promise is that those that have gone on ahead of us will rise first. What's that all about? They're going to be resurrected. Just as Jesus took back his life, he's giving back life to those that have gone on ahead in Christ. But that's not where it ends. As they are resurrected, all those that remain, I don't know which side of this thing I'm going to be on, whether I'm going to be one of those that are going to be resurrected or one of those that are going to be changed in takeoff. Either one doesn't sound bad. I don't know. We'll join them. We'll join all those that have gone ahead. And we'll join the Lord there in the clouds, it says. And we'll ever be. How long's that? We'll ever be. with Him. Huh? Yes, indeed. What's the timing on this thing? Our resurrection will take place at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. At His return. So we see the time. Well, how about the completeness? The completeness of the resurrection for the believer. If you're saved, that means you. The completeness says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's some cool things here. Forgive me for saying it that way, but there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see, first of all, it'll be an immortal resurrection. An immortal resurrection. The idea is it'll be an eternal resurrection. Ever so, be with the Lord. It's an immortal resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53 and 54, listen to this. The Apostle Paul, writing to that church at Corinth, gives us a little more understanding about this resurrection. He says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In verse 54, it says, so when, not if, again, please, it's not if, it's when. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. The completeness of this resurrection starts that it will be an immortal resurrection. Are you ready for this? Are you listening? You know what this word immortal means? Literally, the literal meaning of the word means, now try to say it right, deathlessness. Deathlessness. Immortal. Well, what do you mean? It means to be without death. That new immortality will be a body that does not know death. It will be without death. It will be immortal. The word mortal means that it's subject to death. Immortal means it is not. What? It is not subject to death. Whew. Sounds pretty good to me. When does that happen? Well, you might not want to agree with me on this, but it's a reality. It happens at salvation. When you get saved. Now, I'll still be living in this mortal, this that is subject to death. But the guy that's living inside this address right here is immortal right now, without death. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what do we mean? When you put your trust, your faith in Him, for what He did at Calvary to pay the price of your sin. When you receive Him, what's taking place? The living God is taking up residence in you. You're immortal if you're saved. Because you have the immortal God living in you. That ain't bad. The longest any man walked this earth planet was Methuselah. Asked about him in Sunday school, Miss Erna came up with the right answer. 969 years. That's a long time. That's a long life indeed. But what's 969 years in comparison to eternity? What's that in comparison to eternity? Wow. Secondly, not only will be an immortal resurrection, we also read there in 1 Corinthians 15 that it'll be an incorruptible resurrection, an incorruptible resurrection. In that 52nd verse of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, I like this. I'll try not to do too much shouting or anything here, but 52nd verse, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall, listen, we shall be changed. Now this corruptible, this incorruptible resurrection, now listen, is an imperishable resurrection. You know what something that is perishable, something that, well, it probably won't smell too good after a while. It rots. Something that's perishable. But this incorruptible resurrection will be imperishable. It will not be subject to decay. That's amazing. That's amazing. If you haven't noticed, these earthbound bodies are subject to decay. That's why, hopefully, you took a shower this morning. That's why the deodorant and perfume industries are so profitable. Believe it or not, the latest numbers I could find were for 2006. In 2006, Americans spent $2.3 billion with a B, dollars on deodorant and antiperspirants. Now, I knew it would be a big number, but I had no clue it was going to be that big a number. Why? Why? Well, it's all about trying to hide the fact that our bodies are corruptible. To hide the fact that our bodies are perishable. I don't think we need to describe it any more than that. Not so for our resurrected body. Explain that, preacher. I don't know. I'm just thankful. Not so for our resurrected body. It will be an incorruptible, imperishable body. But get this too. That's all that's great. You know, it's like the old guy that said, this Christian life just getting gooder and gooder and sweeter and sweeter. Well, we got some gooder and gooder here. It will also be an incomparable. It'll be an immortal resurrection, an incorruptible resurrection, but it'll also be an incomparable resurrection. An incomparable resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes this, Philippians 3, verse 20, 21. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, who, concerning Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You know, we don't really have anything on this earth planet to compare this to. It's incomparable. What do we compare to the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ? I rack my brain. Maybe you're smarter than me. I don't know what we would compare that to. The Apostle Paul mentions here, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. I'm thankful to be a citizen of these United States. I never take any shame, or I'm never ashamed to declare that. I'm a citizen of these United States. I'm thankful. But I got dual citizenship. Notice it doesn't say, when you die, you'll be a citizen of heaven. Paul says, our conversation, and the word there means is the idea of citizenship. Our citizenship is. What's that word say? Right now. Right now. Our citizenship is in heaven. Not will be. Yes, it will be, but it is right now. If you're saved, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are right now a citizen of heaven, a citizen of glory. Secondly, Paul says we're anticipating his return. Now listen, when am I a citizen of glory of heaven? Right now. Paul goes on to say, we're anticipating his return when? Now. Oh my, how's the word of God in? Even so come. Even so Jesus come. We're anticipating his return. More and more as each day goes on in this crazy old world. Huh? This world doesn't quite have the luster that I did when I was these guys' age. At this point in life, heaven's looking better all the time. And the more we learn about heaven, the more we understand about glory, it indeed looks better and better. Better and better. Paul says we're anticipating his return now. Expecting it. What's he say? Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Indeed, thirdly, we see that he will one day. He will. This we are looking forward to, beloved. One day, he'll change our present lowly body, that vile body. Our present lowly body, and he's going to fashion it. He's going to transform it after his glorious body. And again, what do we compare that to? It's just something we hold within our hearts, right? We hold that precious, precious truth within our hearts. Huh? You in this room that have lost loved ones, ought to be an encouragement to us. It's going to be that day come. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't pretend to understand it. The day will come when we'll join them either through death or through the resurrection when we hear that trump. Either way, that's just fine. Either way, it's tremendous. And when that takes place, some would argue about whether it's going to be at this point in the resurrection or the tribulation or the beginning of the millennium. Who cares? Huh? We'll leave that to the discussion up there in the college room. For here in this place of worship, I'm just looking forward to it. Huh? And I'm excited about it. We're anticipating. Hey, get our eyes off of this world. The King of Kings, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back. Hey, he's coming back for me. If you can't get excited about the return of Christ, get saved. Get saved. I haven't done that for a while. How's that sound? 1 John 3:2, we'll close with this. 1 John 3:2. Apostle John writing to his precious folks, the folks he loved. 1 John 3:2, he says, beloved, dear ones, precious ones, beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God? Right now, he says, the word sons is that word for children. Right now, you're a child of God if you're saved. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't understand. We can't see it all. He says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. This we do know, John says, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. That'll take me to the house. The question, of course, for us this morning is, are you a child of God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have that peace, that assurance, that indeed, if you take that last breath, that you'll be with him? Absent from the body, Paul says, present with the Lord. For each and every one that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's not a hope-so thing. It's not a go and come back and go and come back, as some would teach. It's go and be with him. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? I plead with you. You'd say, preacher, you're crazy. That's okay. It's all right to be nuts as long as you're screwed on the right bolt. I'm sure thankful for the day that I got connected to Christ. So thankful for the day he saved me. As we said last Sunday, when he turned the lights on in my heart, and I realized that what this Bible says is true. And we've got a God in heaven that loves us and gave his son for us. Might we rejoice in him this morning. And if you're lost, my friend, if you do not have that peace, that comfort, that assurance of where you'll spend eternity, it's our pleasure to take the word of God and show you how you can have that peace. Let's stand together. Our Father, we are grateful, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, it's beyond words to be able to express to you how grateful, how thankful we are. Lord, it's our desire, though, to lift him up. Lord, I pray that we would exalt the Savior. Lord, in this world where there's so much confusion, so much darkness, I ask you in Jesus' name, would you make your message real? Please, Lord. Pray that the wicked one would have no place to enter in and cause a hindrance or an obstacle for someone that your spirit is dealing with. Lord, even right now, would you show that resurrection power? Would you be pleased to grant life? Oh Lord, please draw folks savingly, beautifully, wonderfully to yourself this morning. We love you. And Lord, I realize the only reason I love you is because you first loved us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 149.
As we sing, folks, some here in the altar already, these altars are always open. Whatever the need might be on your heart, whatever the situation, the Lord's a great God. He's a wonderful God, and he's here for you. The need of your heart is to know Christ as your Savior. Someone will take God's word and show you how you can know him today, how you can know that you're saved. Be our great honor, our great privilege, Brother John.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus, he came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory, and I'll know he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Thank you, John. Amen. That's it. Because he lives. Because he lives. Amen. The resurrection power of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, please go pray. praying for your church family, pray for each other, and pray for God to work in these days. Man, I'm praying. Oh, I'm praying. God be pleased that others might see what God has done for them. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Our chorus is He Touched Me. You'll see it inside your bulletin or page 12 in the hymn book. On the chorus, He Touched Me.
He touched me, oh, He touched me.